Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of the Geek Cave. I'm Darren.
I'm Chad.
And I'm Justin in space.
Justin is on the satellite O-Love, and I understand he brought a couple guests with him, Chad. Not only did he bring this month's interview guest,
but Justin,
am I to understand you have a small child on our orbiting satellite?
He followed me. I can't get rid of him.
You made him.
That's true, but you think you can't pick a hand every now and then.
You really have to cut that umbilical cord at some point. I just hope you know.
Oh. Now, let's see. No, I'm not going to go there. There are so many things I could say right now, and not a single one of them is family-friendly enough for Babby.
No, I was thinking the same thing. No.
Well, we have a jam-packed show for you. We have Tomo Robo, that's her screen name, but you better know her better as Tomoko Tsuchiyama from Transformers Rescue Bots joining us on the show today. Really thankful for that. Ooh. Once again, Geek Cave is brought to you by Shirtosaurus.com. Use the Geek Cave as your coupon code. Save 10% on any order from Shirtosaurus.com. Plus, we have another giveaway going on our Facebook page right now, Facebook.com/Geek Cave. And this being the comic book segment, and Justin being the guy who not only interviewed this month's guest, but also the guy who brought a baby on the space station, you get to go first.
And Yay. You get to clean it up later.
Oh, yeah, definitely clean it later.
Yeah. Well, you'd be surprised how little zero G poop, you know, spreads. It's kind of cool, actually.
This is how I know this podcast is arriving, because we're talking about zero G poop.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Zero G poop is the signal that we're arriving.
We have made it.
Not that we have awesome guests
every month.
You know,
not that we have compelling talk, not that we have a website. No.
Not that we have a secondary Skype cast.
Not that we have Amazon sponsoring our website. No. Zero G poop.
Zero G zero poop. G,
that's zero G winning. Baby poop.
Zero G baby poop.
I forgot all to talk, in the name of science.
I forgot to talk about the Amazon thing. But anyway, go ahead, Justin. I'm sorry.
Okay. So right now, there's not a whole heck of a lot going on in comic books.
Liar.
I mean, it's just... it's just kind of in between everything. Marvel now is gearing up.
When?
Now.
Soon.
When will soon be now?
In about a month.
Oh.
Yeah.
So now isn't even here
there,
yet.
Now.
Later.
Later, yes. They're putting out a lot of teaser images. And basically, it's very minimalistic. It has... you know, the Marvel Now logo. Underneath that are the artists and writers on whatever particular book they're on. And then one word to describe whatever book it is. Iron Man has Invincible. Indestructible is The Incredible Hulk. There's one that just says Soldier. And this could refer to Captain America, Bucky the Winter Soldier, Nick Fury. But my favorite, my absolute favorite... in big, bold, red letters. Chimichangas.
Yeah!
That's right, folks. Deadpool is going to be part of Marvel Now.
Well, he had to be.
I know. Hmm. I know he had to be, but I'm glad they're going this direction with the advertising. Just chimichangas.
Well,
there it is.
If they were going to do a faux boot, then they had to have Deadpool.
Yeah, definitely. So keep your eyes open for those. They're kind of interesting to... and they don't say the title of the book. It's just one word, and you have to just figure out who it is based on what you see. That's a dead giveaway. Dead.
Poolish.
Yeah. But some of the other ones are a little hard to figure out, so just keep your eyes open for those. we haven't really talked much about this, and I'm glad we haven't because everybody else has. The unfortunate incident in Colorado concerning the shooting at the Dark Knight Rises midnight launch. Because of that, DC has decided to hold issue 3 of Batman Incorporated. It's going to be released sometime in August. It was supposed to go out last month. Apparently, there's a scene in there that hit a little too close to home for that specific scenario that occurred, and DC thought it was in bad taste to release it when it was supposed to be released. So it just got held back a month, and it's the only title that they're postponing. They're not going overboard with this, saying, well, we're going to hold all Batman titles. It's just this particular one hit a little too close to home, so they decided to hold it. But it will be released sometime this month, so check your local comic book stores for that at some point. I don't exactly know when. But speaking of Batman Incorporated and Action Comics, Grant Morrison, in all his weird genius, has decided that he's going to leave those two books and probably won't be writing any more superhero books for a while, if ever again. He said he's pretty much told the stories that he wants to tell. He's done that part of his life, and he wants to move on to a few other things. So it's going to be interesting to see who kind of takes over for him, and if they keep the direction he's going, or if they go another weird direction, which is kind of what he's used to. So in the coming months, look for his run on those two comics to end. And finally, for my end of it anyway, Chad.
Yes, sir.
You're a fan of Rocky Horror Picture Show, correct?
The first half, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And that first two songs of its sequel, Shock Treatment.
Well, fair enough, you know. were you aware that shortly that when the movie was released, there was a comic book to go along with it, an adaptation?
Why, no.
Yes, there was. And actually, this thing has been out of print for the last 20 years. Wow. Well, guess what? In October, just in time for Halloween, it's coming back.
Awesome. Because really, the only way to get my Rocky Horror, you know, fix lately has been to watch Phineas and Ferb. The father is voiced by the guy who played Riff Raff.
Yeah.
That's true. No, it is an adaptation of the movie, complete with the songs. The lyrics are listed out in as in speech bubbles, as if they're being sung to you. It's also going to include the fan club version, which has the audience participation guide, including a prop list.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. So this promises to be something really good for the Rocky Horror collector in your life. It's from Transfusion Publishing. It comes out this October. Look for it on Amazon or any other retailer. Keep that in mind. I may pick up a copy. What the hell? You know,
why not?
It's one thing to see Tim Curry in drag. It's another thing to see him drawn in drag.
Yeah.
I'm so stunned, near speechless.
That's pretty much all you can say at this point, really.
Yeah.
So that's it's going to retail for about $18, and it's 128 pages, full color. So you know that's not bad.
Yeah,
I've definitely seen worse deals.
That's about all I've got for comic books. Darren, Chad, do you guys have anything to add?
Chad?
No, sir.
Well, I just have a couple of things. If you're a fan of digital comics and some of you probably are. I know that I'm steadily becoming more of a fan after I found that DC's really hard to find Final Night storyline is in its entirety on Comixology right now. And yes. I was able to pick up all of the books for just $10. So that's not bad considering how much it'll cost you on eBay to find it. Marvel and Comixology now allowing you to sync their accounts. Now, this is something DC's allowed for a while already because DC's app for mobile devices is through Comixology, but Marvel has its own with their own digital comic platform. Well, now finally, Marvel is allowing you to link your account with Comixology. So if you bought a Marvel digital comic, you can read it in your comic app with the rest of your books. Now Marvel has made sure that their children are wearing all the appropriate padding so they don't get hurt and they don't, you know, put an eye out or anything. So that's good of them.
So once again, Marvel, way to catch up to DC.
For the number one comic book company in the world, they do a lot of catch up.
For the House of Ideas, they're They're riding the coattails of everybody else's, it seems like.
Excelsior.
Except they have better stories than everyone else, apparently.
That remains to be seen.
Yeah.
You wouldn't become the number one if you didn't have better stories.
Well, they do have two things. Really good marketing and Disney.
And Deadpool.
Yeah, okay, fine. Well, three things.
Well, they cost more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They apparently do really strange things with established characters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're still number one?
Somehow, yeah.
Apparently.
So, apparently, they're in some way better. Otherwise, DC or Dark Horse or anyone else would be beating them.
It's a fair point. And hopefully, someone from Marvel Comics is listening, and they can give us reasons. Because I can't think of any.
Heck, I don't want Marvel to give me a reason. I want DC to call me up and say, hey... Here's why Marvel's beating us now.
Yeah. The only other thing I have for comics...
When?
Marvel now. the only other thing I have for comics, He-Man issue one. I finally was able to find this in the wild. It's a DC comic, by the way. And picked it up. I believe it was $3. Not bad. That'll be my short review on that. It kind of follows Prince Adam... waking up from a dream. It starts off with what looks like a big battle scene from, you know, the Masters of the Universe. And then He-Man turns out to be just Adam, a woodsman who's been having dreams of what may have been a life that he used to know. So apparently something has happened that caused Adam to forget who he is. And by the end of issue one, you find out that not only is Skeletor fully aware of who Adam used to be, but it's imperative that Adam not remember who he was. So a lot of intrigue there. It's going to be a 6-issue miniseries. It's definitely worth checking out. I don't know if it's worth running out and buying or waiting for the graphic novel because we know DC's going to collect it in a graphic novel. But I don't regret my purchase. I'll just say that.
All right. Well, I'm glad you finally found an issue because I'm still looking for it.
Well, it was hard and I had to do things I'm not proud of.
When have you ever done something you're really not proud
of? Yeah.
The master of no shame.
Well, you know.
So it's a typical Thursday for you, basically.
Living like a hog.
All right. Well, that's all I got for comics.
Okay. Now,
like I said, it's slow.
It is slow. Now, did you want to bring our guest on now, or did you want to wait until the movie segment?
Chad, how long did you review?
I've got... three things, and one of them is reasonably long. The other two are fairly short.
Why don't we bring our guest on now? What the hell? It's
all
my
right.
segment.
All right.
I demand we have guests.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hold on. I got to get comfortable.
The Geek Cave.
And we'd like to welcome into the cave Tomoko. She's an animation supervisor on Transformers Rescue Bots, airing Saturdays, 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Hub. Tomoko, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. So, you, like I said, you work on this new cartoon, Transformers Rescue Bots. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
It's about these four rescue bots that's been in pretty much stasis, and I'm assuming around the beginning of the Cybertron War, before Megatron, you know, goes off full out against the Autobots. So, these robots, they land on Earth by the time Cybertron doesn't exist anymore. And they meet Optimus Prime there, and since they're trying to keep it in the Transformers Prime continuity, the designs are pretty much similar. So he greets them and be like, oh, hey, didn't know you guys were alive. Cybertron is kind of gone. You guys aren't really built for war. You're kind of like the protector bots. So here's a human. Here's some rescue people. Go join up with them and help people in this crazy island full of Griffin Rock people who can't take care of themselves. Bye!
That's a beautiful synopsis. I love that.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But okay. Yeah.
Characters. So it falls within the Transformers Prime continuity, which also airs on Hub, by the way, for our listeners at home. Yes. Great station. I wish I had it.
Oh, I know. Me too. They don't have it in Canada for some strange reason.
It's hard to come by around here unless you pay a little extra for, you know, the next tier up in cable or satellite.
Yeah.
Thank God for Netflix.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So within this show, you have a lot of great voice actors involved. You've got LeVar Burton, Maurice LaMarche, Tim Curry. He plays kind of the unofficial main villain, right?
Yes, pretty much. He only appears in you guys already know that. It's already in the Wikipedia.
Yeah.
He appears in like the episode 12 and 13, and then for the two-parter that's kind of like, oh shit, I don't want to give anything away. It's already on Wikipedia, so whatever. But yeah, he's pretty much the quote-unquote main villain, even though he only shows up a few times. But so, the only other villain I could think of is the island and the inhabitants there themselves. Because, again, they don't know how to take care of themselves.
They are kind of bumbling from what I've been able
to. Yeah, it's like, oh God, how did you guys survive all these years?
How did they develop such technology on the island, like floating stoplights, and yet they can't save themselves from...
It's all Doc Green, I think. I think he's just a huge troll. He is the biggest troll. It's like, I have the power to make this DeLorean lookalike car and all these awesome robot shit, but like, I'm going to give it to all you people and see what happens. See what disasters happen next.
And I think LeVar Burton was a good choice for a troll. He's really awesome.
I didn't even recognize his voice until I saw like the actual credits. I'm like, wait, that guy from Star Trek? What? I was excited. And then Steve Bloom is there. I recognize his voice right away.
Oh, God, yeah.
Wolverine Spike. And Starscream. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I about crapped myself when I heard him start talking. I'm like, oh, this show got 20% cooler, right?
Oh, I know. Well, even when Peter Collins' voice appeared, I was like, wait, that's actually him? Because when I first heard it, it was just a demo guy who just kind of did like an imitation. I'm like, oh, I guess this is the guy. But then when they actually animated the show, I'm like, wait, no, that actually is Peter Cullen. Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
I just flipped it out and nobody else seemed to care about me. But I was like, ah!
Yeah, Prime only makes like an appearance in one episode this season, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, getting Peter Cullen for that one episode was pretty damn cool.
Yeah. Let's
talk about the art style for the show a little bit. I've noticed that for most people, when you say cartoon, you think a two-dimensional drawing with a thick, dark outline around everything to separate it from the background and everything. This show, along with another hub show, My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, awesome show.
Yes.
tends to do something a little different. They take the color of whatever's being outlined and then make a slightly darker color to outline it, just to give it a slightly different look. And I love that. Why did you guys decide to go that direction as opposed to your traditional animation style or, say, CGI or something like that?
I'm not sure about the way they design, like, the lines. That's usually not the area I'm usually involved in, but I'm really glad they went with that style because, again, I am a fan of My Little Ponies as well, and I actually got an offer for My Little Pony before Transformers, but then, yeah. So I'm like, oh, I don't know, because I know like almost half the people who work in My Little Pony. So like, hey, we need an animator. But then later, the Transformers thing popped up. So I'm like, fuck it, gonna go to Transformers. But it's interesting you brought up the CG because they did at the very beginning do a CG turnaround of all the rescue bots. And we pretty much did the design based on how they look for the upshot and downshot and like the flat angles and whatnot.
Okay. What inspired you to get into animation? I mean, what triggered your mind to go, that's what I want to do?
Probably watching a lot of Miyazaki Hayao movies and Disney and pretty much the Looney Tunes. I didn't want to do animation at first. I wanted to be a voice actress. But then I realized how terrible my voice is.
Oh, no, it's not terrible. It's no worse than mine.
Thank you. But, I decided, actually, I like drawing a bit better. So then I just concentrated on that. And I'm glad I did because I love every minute of my job.
That is so cool. I mean, I'm kind of in the same vein as you. When I grew up, I still watch cartoons all the time. And I would just draw everything and I would imitate voices. But then I realized as I got older, my drawing started to suck more. And as my voice dropped, I couldn't imitate as many characters. So I figured, oh, well, there goes that dream.
Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah, pretty much. So here I am hosting an internet podcast. Life sucks.
No. I had a lovely wife and a lovely, you know, new child.
Yeah, I got a little bit.
Not that bad. Just don't take into the movies.
Not yet.
Not yet. The alley.
So, you're working on this great show, Transformers. You had a chance to work on My Little Pony. Are there any other projects that you personally are working on that you can tell us about? Or is it just kind of...
Unfortunately, I don't think I'm allowed to say, just because since it hasn't been officially announced anywhere else yet, so I might get in trouble if I do reveal to anyone what I'm working on now. It's like, oh, you leaked stuff.
Okay.
You can't work on the show anymore because, yeah.
Now you do realize we don't have that many followers, so it's not like, like we're mainstream or anything.
I don't want to take any chances, though, unfortunately. Who knows?
All right, folks, you heard it. I tried.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
it's okay. I understand. Damn, I had a follow-up question, then I just blanked. Hey, I'm getting old. I am older than the Transformers.
What? And
it's...
You don't look like it.
Yeah, I'm 30, and Transformers are like 28.
Oh, I guess so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sad. I feel old now.
Aw, don't worry.
I'm old. I have a kid. Just give me a walk and get off the lawn. Okay. Transformers Rescue Bots has been officially picked up for a second season. Is this correct, or is it just kind of in the works?
No, I did hear that a second season has been announced, but not sure what they're going to do about it. And not sure if I'm allowed to say anything about it either. Well, but I know that they did announce it online, I believe, as well, that they are thinking of a second season.
According to Wikipedia, yes.
Yeah, again, I checked it out too, just in case people, I'm like, okay.
Where are these people getting this information from?
Yeah, I know. Half the time, like, wait, I didn't know this.
All right, so if anybody from Hub is listening, it's not Tomoko's fault that all this stuff got leaked on Wikipedia. She's in the clear.
All I do is draw fan art, and sometimes really naughty ones. That's all I do.
And isn't that what we all do from time to time?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Your inner child is allowed to be perverted from time to time. It's cool.
Of course. I love looking at all the fan arts. Especially the rescue bots. I love showing them at work.
At quote work.
Work.
Yeah. Well, Tomoko, thank you very much for your time. It's been a pleasure. Once again, Transformers Rescue Bots airs on Hub Saturdays, 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. Check your local listings. And thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
The Geek Cave.
Once again, I can't thank Tomoko enough for stopping by. Transformers Rescue Bots airs Saturdays, 12:30 Eastern Time on the Hub. Check it out. It's actually pretty good. It's a really awesome show.
Well, hey, she's worked on that and My Little Pony. When?
No, she was going to work on My Little Pony.
Close
and then
enough.
She got the Transformers call.
Close enough.
So, close enough,
I'm
yeah.
I'm calling it anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah.
Tomoko and I were talking before the show, and apparently, she has a signed Galvatron poster signed by Leonard Nimoy. Is that not awesome?
Oh
man, why don't we have her on the show more often?
I know. What? I mean,
then we could have a video podcast
idea.
That's true. She's better looking than any of us.
That doesn't take much, I'm sorry to inform our female viewers.
Mm. That's
listeners.
That's true. Yeah, we are quite homely.
Female viewers would actually be kind of frightening.
We're getting off topic.
Our wives listen. So that's three. That's multiple.
That's just because your wife's in the room with you.
Yeah.
No, she's in the kitchen.
Wait, you brought her up to the satellite too?
Someone's got to feed Babby.
Somebody's got to feed Babby.
All right, we're going to take a break. Justin is going to have some rights revoked. When we come back, talking gaming, so stay tuned. More Geek Cave to come.
Remember when you used to go outside to get pictures of butterflies? Well, now you can stay inside and Google butterflies. But it doesn't have to stop there, because now you can tell all your friends you Googled butterflies with Google Buzz, now in Gmail. And when your friends find out you've been Googling butterflies, they'll want to Google butterflies too. I bet you think everyone wants to follow you on Google Buzz. Well, you're wrong. It's just you, your mom, and her dog that wears a tie. And after you've worked up an appetite from all that buzzing, you can just Google some pictures of food and then share those pictures with your friends. Your friend Dave just shared a video with you of his dog jumping over a hedge. That's nice. But Brayden still won't share his girlfriend. I love you, Heather. But what if you have to step away from your computer? Well, that's okay too, because Google Buzz is now on your cell phone with geolocation. So if your friends do decide to go out without you, you'll know exactly where. I'm only following you on Buzz because Heather defriended me on Facebook.
Brought to you by Shirtosaurus.com. We dig up clothing from your past so you can look rad today.
And welcome back to the Geek Cave. I'm Darren.
I'm Chad.
I'm Justin.
Justin's on the satellite of love.
In space.
With a baby.
With a babby.
Big thank you to Tomoko once again. Tomoko Kuchiyama of Transformers Rescue Bots for joining us earlier on the show. Thank you to sponsor Shirtosaurus.com. Use the Geek Cave, all one word, as your coupon code. Save 10%. And also, visit our website, geekcavepodcast.tumblr.com. You'll see a link there to Amazon, and that will get you, well, it won't get you anything, but it will help out the podcast as well. So if you're going to order from Amazon, please do it from our website. Gaming! Who's excited about, well, okay, there's not a lot going on, but I do have an exciting development for you.
You have an exciting development for us?
I have
it. So much so he's pointing at us, Justin.
I'm pointing at Chad, and I'm hoping it relays to Justin.
I'm pointing at my microphone at Justin.
All right.
I'm living vicariously through Chad for Darren's poke.
Not poke, point.
Wow. Whatever.
There's a difference.
Wow. Okay. Next month.
Next poke month, at Chad. Next, poke him.
Next month, we're going to have a special guest host join us in the cave because this is being recorded just prior to Gamescom in Germany. And we went out and we got ourselves a professional game journalist for next month's podcast. Michelle is going to be joining us from the Game Fanatics website, and she's going to be talking up everything that'll be going down in Gamescom, including the big announcements, which, by the way, you can also follow on Facebook.com/DeepCave or DeepCavePodcast.tumblr.com.
So you're getting a professional games journalist.
Yes.
Aren't you putting yourself out of a job?
Yeah, he's being lazy next month.
No. I'll be here. I will be here.
I know, but you won't have to do jack.
I'm anchoring.
You're okay? Anchoring.
I'm going to be in. Hey, that's
he's
what I'm
the one that's going.
He sits there.
That's what I do in real life. I anchor. I hold things down.
You hear that, Justin? He's keeping us down.
So you're the man that's doing it.
That is not.
What's an anchor do?
I quit.
It sinks.
I quit.
You're going to quit?
No, I don't quit the. Let's move on. Let's move on.
Cry?
You going to cry?
Leave me alone.
I got a baby up here and he cries less than you do. Come on, man.
God, this is so professional. Anyway.
Little known fact, Darren does not use these when he applies for jobs.
No.
Justin, however, might.
It might help us.
Mind nothing I do. In fact, that's what I start off with. Here, listen to this. You'll know exactly who I am.
Here, listen to this. Thank you for your time.
Listen for this. I'll start on Monday.
Listen to this. Sorry, I bothered you. All right.
gaming. Kingdom Hearts for the 3DS came out not that long ago. Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance. There's three D's in the title. That's because of Kingdom Hearts 3A. Yeah. Really short review. I'm going to put a longer one up on the Tumblr site, but really short review. Good. Good. I want to be careful when I say this, because it has been a while since I played a Kingdom Hearts game that really felt like a Kingdom Hearts game. But I believe this is the best Kingdom Hearts game to date.
Even more so than 1 and 2 for the PS2.
Even more so than 1 or 2. It combines the command deck system from Birth by Sleep. It's got upgraded graphics because, you know, it's running on a little bit more powerful hardware than a PS2 is. And it takes place immediately after Kingdom Hearts 2. So it actually is a sequel. Not a full-on sequel. It's not Kingdom Hearts 3. That's coming shortly after the Mayan apocalypse happens. But it is still a great addition to the story, and it includes little primers that help you kind of catch up with the story if you missed any along the way, if you didn't play Birth by Sleep or 358/2 Days or Recoded or God knows what other games they have. Overall, gameplay is tight. If you're not a Kingdom Hearts fan, approach this one with caution. You will be lost, at least initially. It does catch you up, but it'll take a while. I'm giving it an A. So,
high praise.
I think it's worth it. I think it's worth the $40 that I put out for it. Another review for you, and this is kind of an older game, Vanquish, made for the PS3 and the 360, released by Sega a while back. And it's a third-person shooter. I like to call it a shooter with style. You can use slowdown, bullet time, you know, do really crazy stuff like run into battle, sliding on your knees, vaporizing everything around you. It's a pretty game. You feel like a badass playing it. Difficulty spikes in some areas, though, are a little bit too sudden. It's kind of like the final boss in Uncharted 2.
Ooh.
Where you're going along fine, you're killing everything, you feel unstoppable, and then all of a sudden, there's Lazarevich. It really does put a damper in certain parts of the game, specifically really toward the end, not even the final boss. The next to final boss is actually the one that's the worst, because you're also in a room full of people shooting at you as well. So that's what holds it back from getting a really good score. I'm going to give it a solid B. It's not good enough for a B+, definitely not good enough for an A. You're going to spend maybe about 8 hours on this game, so it's a short game, but it's only $20 right now, new. And it's not a multiplayer title, so you don't have to worry about the dreaded online pass. So, you know, but it still is a good effort. It's an original IP. I'd recommend buying it new. Just, come on, reward them for their work. It's Sega, so it's not one of the companies that deserve to get shafted. So... feel free to go ahead and pick it up. I think it's good. It's rent it first. Definitely rent it first. Or borrow from a friend.
Hey, friend?
Yes.
May I borrow?
Absolutely.
Awesome. It'll have to wait, though.
Or steal from your friend.
Yeah, I'd like to keep him as a friend. He lets me use real fancy equipment in a little soundproof room.
Yeah, well, there's that. So go ahead.
However, something that I remembered. I remembered.
Oh.
You know, next week you've got this professional game, or next month you have this professional game journalist. I'm going to feel really out of sorts, but next month we'll have both Darksiders 2, should be in my grubby little paws,
yeah,
as well as the Ratchet & Clank HD release.
Chad is going to be carrying the reviews for next month.
Well, except for the whole GamesCon thing.
Yeah.
And whatever hands-on...
Well, Michelle will be giving us like a 10-minute segment, I assume, you know, but we usually try to keep it at that length. But I really am happy that we're able to give our listeners such high grade content, especially considering how much we spend on this. So,
especially considering that we're not high grade at all.
Yeah, really. Gaming news, just a few things to report, and as with most of our other stories, you can find these on our website. The Ouya Kickstarter ended not that long ago. That's the Android-based console about the size of a Rubik's Cube. And, wow. Started on July 10th. They were just seeking $950,000. 30 days later, they raised $8.6 million.
in
That's
donations.
A lot of free Ouyahs going out. Well,
every time, well, not really free, but every time you donated $95 or $99 or whatever it was, you got an Ouya. But not just that, your Ouya would come with an engraving of your name. As well as your Ouya, you would permanently reserve your username, and your username would have a special little emblem next to it that said you were a founder.
Now, see, I would want to get all that, and then I would want to send in my Wii to them and have them engrave a turret from Portal 2 on it with the caption, "Are you still there?" Because no, Nintendo, I am not.
Well, the Ouya is really starting to catch my interest. Picked up on Live, so it'll be able to stream a lot of the current PC titles. They picked up Square Enix and Namco as developers, who said they are working on something for the system. They've picked up radio service TuneIn and a whole lot more. So the little box is starting to develop some pretty powerful stuff. And I don't know why this is a big announcement, but they just added an Ethernet port to the system, because apparently it wasn't there in the original schematics. And people are like, how am I going to use OnLive? That thing doesn't play well with Wi-Fi. I know, I'm an OnLive user. But
you plug that cable in.
The announcement of OnLive, more than anything, has really got me looking pretty closely at the Ouya. So we'll be keeping an eye on it, because it's definitely an interesting development. Every game released for the Ouya will be free to try. There will be a demo for every game. Some games will be completely free, but run on a microtransaction way, like certain MMOs do, like Facebook games do. So that's exciting. Speaking of MMOs, and this is kind of disappointing news. Well, we've got good news and bad news. Good news is, if you like Star Wars and you've wanted to play The Old Republic for a while and you have a PC because, the folks who made this game don't like Macs, good news. You'll be able to play Star Wars The Old Republic free to play starting in the middle of August. It'll be free to play. They're going the microtransaction route because they realize that people don't like paying $60 for a game and then paying a monthly fee after that. That tends to rub most people the wrong way. Now, of course, you'll say World of Warcraft, and I'll say, yes, but I'm talking about people that actually know what they're doing. No offense to our WoW fans, but it goes along the lines of Xbox Live. If I am already paying for internet, why should I be paying for the right to play my console on the internet when other companies are allowing me to do that for free? You know? That's just, but anyway, that's the good news. The bad news, if you're more of a Trekkie, your MMO has been canceled. It turns out that Star Trek Infinite Space, which was supposed to be a free-to-play browser-based MMO, so you could play it on any machine, the publisher announced since autumn 2011, they have tried and tried and tried. No one wants to become a publishing or marketing partner with them. No one wants to take a chance. So, excuse me, Star Trek Infinite Space, essentially dead. So, sorry to report that. And one last bit of gaming stuff from me. If you're an iPhone, iPod Touch, or iOS user in general, DC has released a Justice League game featuring the new 52 character models. This might be enticing. Let me tell you up front, do not buy this game. Every indication is, Justin is like breaking something up there. And every indication is that this game is absolutely terrible. I have not seen a single positive review for it. I'm not spending $3 to find out for myself.
Not one.
Not one. Not one positive review.
Damn.
For the iOS Justice League game. That compared to the Superman game on iOS, which is actually quite good and actually fun. This is more of a ugly, and I've seen screenshots, ugly side-scrolling beat-em-up. If you can't even, there are a lot of side-scrolling beat-em-ups on iOS. If you can't even make it look good, what are you doing?
Tap, 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 tap.
So,
I win!
So, anyway.
Superman beat up Batman! Again!
It's a missed opportunity, especially when you look at how DC has started to make good games with Arkham City and Arkham Asylum and Lego Batman 2, and Injustice looks phenomenal.
Superman Returns on the Xbox.
Superman 64.
No, he did say good games. He did give Superman Returns. I discussed with him today.
That's,
Superman
that's
Returns
true.
Apparently
that's true.
Reasonable.
I gave it a B- on the Xbox 360. Mostly because it does some things right It just doesn't do enough right. So actually more like a C+. It's a passable game. But it's better than the other Superman games that are out there, unfortunately. So that's all I've got for gaming. Chad?
Oh, I already said what I had to say.
Okay, Justin?
Yeah, one quick little thing. Yeah, I know. You guys remember me mentioning a game called Flower for the Sony PSN?
Oh, was that before or after the Perfect Strangers game?
That would have been before.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, before, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I remember.
It's made by That Game Company. They've actually got...
Which one?
Two more... That Game Company.
No, no. Which... There's a lot of them.
That Game Company. You know
them. Oh, yeah, that one. The one. The one that makes the games. That one. Yeah.
There's like 50 of them.
No.
Anyway.
Not the big game company.
Uh huh.
Just That Game Company.
What, 38 Studios?
No, that's owned by Rhode Island now.
That's true. That is true.
Kingdoms of Amalur has become the newest county in Rhode Island. Expect a live auction house later this month.
I just want them to rename one lake Frostmarsh. That's it. Okay, sorry. That Game Company, yes, that is the actual company name. We're just playing around, folks. All right, go ahead, Justin. I'm sorry.
Because we're professional.
Yeah. They've got a new game out called Journey. Very, very beautifully done game. I've got the demo. I've played it. I'm going to buy the full version. On August 28th, you can go out and retail buy a disc copy of Journey for $30, and it also includes Flower and their first game, Flow, which takes place kind of underwater.
Flow, Flower, and Journey.
Yes.
It seems like they missed an opportunity there.
The game itself is going to be called Journey Collector's Edition, and it comes bundled with the other two games. Like I said, it's $30, and all three games are available on the PSN now, or you can wait and buy the disc version at the end of the month. I highly recommend it. So go forth and purchase, folks.
Oh, yeah, I guess additional.
And apparently your wife agrees.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if that's that, anything else, guys?
Nope, I'm good.
If the satellite turns into some kind of suburbia, I'm never going back. He's brought the whole family up there. Next thing you know, he's going to put up a white picket fence around the place in low Earth orbit. It's going to look like one of those cookie cutter places out of like the...
Well, Justin, please don't put up a fence because we can't really... I don't think we have enough liability insurance to cover missiles from space.
Hang on. Hey, Charlie, cancel the fence.
All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, movie
segment.
No,
I don't know why. Just cancel it.
And Chad has a...
Make it pink. I don't care.
Fan-requested review. This is going to be good and painful. Stay tuned. More to come.
Got an hour? We'll waste it.
I couldn't help but notice a lot of Mass Effect 3 slash fiction you left lying around between Shepard and Garrus.
Well, Garrus Vakarian is Commander Shepard's favorite spot on the Citadel.
Exactly!
I broke Chad!
That's never happened!
Who says there's nothing good on the internet anymore? It's the Geek Cave. Downloading now on iTunes and Podbean.com. The Geek Cave, brought to you by Shirtosaurus.com. Use The Geek Cave as your coupon and get 10% off your order only at Shirtosaurus.com.
Welcome back to The Geek Cave. I'm Darren.
I'm Chad.
I'm Justin.
And Justin is on the Geek Cave satellite. Oh, love. Have you put all the Shirtosaurus bumper stickers up there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. I've got like a whole box of them for you.
The place is starting to look like his Little Big Planet hub house. It's
nice.
Shirtosaurus stickers everywhere.
Shirtosaurus.com. We are giving away some Shirtosaurus gift codes. You can check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/DK, for all the contests, or follow us on Twitter. If Twitter will allow us to stay online for more than a week, it's at Geek Cave Podcast. And of course, you can use us as a discount code at Shirtosaurus, The Geek Cave, all one word. Save 10% on your order right there. That's because we love you. Maybe in a platonic way. Movies, Chad.
All right. So a couple of short things. We'll get to you guys. And then a really long, painful thing. The Hobbit, now three movies, still
Boo.
Only one book.
Boo!
Apparently, the story is just so outrageously complex.
Not.
And complex and serious and able to be split three ways so perfectly that it's now three movies. Because Lord knows it's so much harder to follow The Hobbit than either of the other Ring trilogy. I realize that The Hobbit is not technically a prequel. It happens beforehand, but...
The Hobbit, an unexpected journey for more money.
I'd say that's probably pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He needed... Peter Jackson needed to finish the money for it. That's really what this is about.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Now, along with that, they are releasing The Hobbit on limited release at 48 frames per second, which is... It's twice what your typical cinema will show. Typical cinema is supposed to show 24 frames per second. This is doubling that. It can mean a lot of smoother action. It can mean that a lot of the realism will really pop, especially if there's any 3D, and I don't remember if 3D was part of this gig or not.
Oh, it's
I
Peter,
don't think
it's,
so.
It's Peter Jackson. Yes, yeah. It's part. Yeah, it's going to be 3D.
Well,
they're going to do 3D.
If it is fine, the 48 frames per second will probably make that better.
3D-er.
Yeah, three double deer.
That's only in Vegas.
And on Piranhas, the sequel.
Yeah.
Piranhas 3DD, the well, sequel. Also terrible. Don't recommend
that's
it.
That's something I didn't think we would be talking about is Piranhas, the sequel.
You wouldn't believe the things that I can find to
this
come up with.
This podcast is going places I never dreamed.
That's true.
I'm telling you, 0G baby poop.
Yes, yes, because we needed to come back to that. Well done, Justin. Well done.
The circle
is
complete.
It's better than Piranhas 3DD.
The circle is complete.
Good night, folks. This is for the never imitatable Kent Harris.
Never imitatable. We all do that in our spare time.
And yet none of us are able to do it.
Well, true. Okay. I'll give you that.
So anyway... Darren, you had some information on a response to the Avengers movie that just may make it better.
Yeah. What?
Well, we learned this week that Joss Whedon has been signed on for Avengers 2.
Not just Avengers 2, but also
all
a Marvel...
the way to 2015.
Yeah, also a Marvel TV series.
I didn't know about the TV series.
Yeah,
that's
also
very
a
cool.
Marvel TV series. So Joss Whedon has been locked up. In the biggest case of why was this even an issue? So congratulations to Joss. We really do mean that because he did an outstanding job with Avengers, mm-hmm. and we're sure he will make Disney a whole lot of money.
And in response, DC, never one to slouch, always willing to try to stay on the cutting edge of Marvel and to really bring forth their brand to show how great their characters are. Iconic even.
Yeah.
They got who?
Ben Affleck.
Yes.
Ben Affleck is being rumored, and now his camp is denying these rumors, but right now Ben Affleck is being rumored all the way up by Variety to be the new director for the Justice League movie.
Oh, yeah.
And there's even a report he'll be playing The Flash.
Well, he does so well in Skin Tight Red.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, folks, this is the same guy who was in Geely.
You know what?
Yeah, because nobody's able to make a bad movie. Zardoz, Val Kilmer, Michael Keaton, George Clooney, Christopher Reeve, Brandon Routh.
Christian Bale hated Newsies.
Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a right to hate Newsies.
Yeah.
Not because
better not
was,
let our wives hear that.
Not because he was in it. Not because it was a bad movie.
Yeah.
But he's looking back at it now and realizing that he's never really grown up from that.
Mm.
He hates himself.
Anyway, now it's a good point, Chad. And speaking of Daredevil, and, you know, I liked Daredevil personally. The director's cut I thought was a lot better than the theatrical. But Fox may be losing the rights to make another Daredevil movie soon.
Oh, snap.
They have a deadline of October 10th to start filming. But it looks like they're going to let their rights lapse because they kind of lost the screenwriter in the middle of the script. So now
Ben Affleck went to go do what?
The 20th Century Fox and Marvel are still debating. Marvel apparently is thinking about giving them more time in exchange for Galactus.
because they want to put Galactus in a future Marvel movie that has nothing to do with the Fantastic Four, because 20th Century Fox also still has the rights to the Fantastic Four.
Galactus. Not giant cloud monster?
No, the real Galactus, not Parallax.
Okay.
The big guy with a purple headdress and...
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
So
yeah.
We'll keep an eye on that one. And finally, and we... this was one story that blew up our Tumblr page. The sequel to X-Men First Class, which, by the way, was a great movie.
It was a good movie.
Okay, fine. You feel it was good. I feel it was great.
It was a better than average movie.
Mostly probably because I went in expecting bad and I got good.
Okay.
So.
Okay, so from bad to good does mean excellent.
Yeah. So... but anyway, Bryan Singer is connected to the X-Men franchise again, and he wants to make a movie that will tie First Class to the X-Men trilogy to X-Men Origins Wolverine. He wants to tie them all together into one universe, and he's going to do that with Days of Future Past. That will be the next storyline the next X-Men movie covers, is the really one of the most popular X-Men stories of all time.
What's it about? I've never heard of it.
It takes place, it starts off in the future, and we get to see how the X-Men have failed at their mission. There's a dystopian world. Sentinels, giant robots, have taken over the world, basically transforming the entire world into a police state. And through the course of the story, and it varies depending on whether you're looking at the animated series or the comics or whatever, the basic line is someone has to go back to the past and prevent an assassination from causing this horrible dystopian future. So, you know, it has a lot of potential. They're going to, hopefully they'll do everything right. Time travel, whatnot. And like I said, I'm really looking forward to seeing if they can pull all this off and pull all these things together. It could be something really special.
Hmm.
So, but if you have not read it, I urge you to either go read it or at least see the X-Men animated series version.
Okay.
So, and that's on Netflix. You can do that right now. Well, not right
now.
No,
I can't.
Not right now.
I'm helping you record a podcast.
But our listeners can do that right now if they're not familiar with it.
They need to pause the podcast.
Okay.
They need to finish listening to the podcast and then go watch it.
They don't want to miss me in pain.
They need to finish the podcast, watch it, then come back and listen to the podcast again so then they can review what we were saying about the series and whether or not it stacks up.
And make sure that you listen to it again with very powerful and influential friends who may want to join us on the Cave sometime, giving interviews about major aspects of comics, movies, games.
Yeah, we're not proud, but we would love to have more guests. So, but anyway, that's all I've got for movies.
That's all you've got for movies?
So far, yeah.
Oh, wow. How about you, Justin?
I ain't got shit.
You ain't got nothing, huh?
He ain't got feces.
Well, it's all zero G.
Well,
yeah.
He does.
I can't grab it. It's just floating away.
Oh. I really do need to fix the gravity modulator.
I think he's having a little too much fun with it. But
I think he probably is. I'm going to get up there. There's going to be stuff scraped all over the walls in there.
Well, that's the nice thing about the bumper stickers. They're easily cleanable, so...
He does have you there. Now, those are supposed to go on the outside, Justin.
Oh, crap. That would explain why I can't see the oxygen monitor anymore.
Okay.
Chad.
Yeah.
All I see is this big blinky red light. I don't know what it means.
Are you ready?
No.
Justin, are you ready?
Yes.
Oh.
Kent, hit it.
And now, it's time for Chad Savage's Random Movie Review.
Oh. Okay.
Come on, I'll do it.
Okay. This movie was recommended by Rob Glatz as 4 months ago.
One of our big Shirtosaurus contests, yeah.
Won the first of the Shirtosaurus contests.
Yes, he did.
And it was a movie to review, and he offered Mazes and Monsters, which I must thank the two of you chose for me.
Yep.
I really... When I say thanks, read. You know,
it was the only way to be
read
fair.
Read expletive deleted you.
It was the only way to be fair. We picked what Justin will be reviewing next month.
Yeah, and believe me, Chad, I am in just as much pain as you are with mine.
And I allowed you guys to post a picture of me in spandex, so I think we're even.
Is that
no,
right?
No, oh, we're not.
You just wait, good sir.
Fine.
The new year's coming. Oh, we forgot all about Man of Steel. Oh, I got to do Mazes and Monsters. Mazes and Monsters.
Well, hold on real quick. Chad didn't like the Man of Steel teaser.
I didn't. I thought it was boring.
There we go. All right, go.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, who am I kidding? Gentlemen, as long as there has been fun, there have been people set out to demonize it. There have been people who have gone out of their way to say, no, the fun you are having is bad. The fun you are having is going to turn you to the dark side. Not because they have cookies. They're going to turn you to Satan. They're going to turn you to evil ways, to shooting up things, to wanting to threaten others. Now, it's video games.
Mm.
You know, in times of yore, it was comic books. It was rock and roll music.
Yeah.
It was dancing. In the 1970s and 80s, it was a game called Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, yeah.
An innocent game, as far as I was concerned. It was a great outlet for me to be able to sit and visit with friends and use our imaginations for something that actually involved other people rather than a box of Kleenex and a dark room.
I put on my robe and wizard hat.
Oh, boy.
So
we're getting into this early.
Mazes and Monsters starts off and it looks like the beginning of Police Squad. You know, you're following the police headlight through the streets. It's just any moment I'm expecting the music to pop out. So, but then it goes and it pans up to this news reporter who's talking about there's this victim of a seemingly innocent game, Mazes and Monsters. These are quotes, by the way. It's a kind of psychodrama, you might say, where these people deal with problems in their lives by acting them out. End quotations. Let me tell you something, folks. If Dungeons and Dragons was a way for people to act out their real-life problems, then there'd be a lot more quests dealing with crippling fear of women.
Nice.
So
my high school years.
Yes. Yes. And part of college.
Still me.
So, anyway, Mazes and Monsters is a very thinly veiled reference to Dungeons and Dragons. It was a book written by Rona Jaff, or Rona Jaffe. I don't know exactly how to pronounce her last name.
Jaff.
No, it's spelled with a J.
No, the J is German.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So it'd be half.
I guess.
Anyway, it follows four college students who are all fans of playing this Mazes and Monsters. You've got all of them come from very high social standing families, it seems. All of them have a lot of pressure on them. And one of them happens to be Tom Hanks, who was kicked out of his last college for playing too much Mazes and Monsters. Which, by the way, if I screw up and say Dungeons and Dragons, just assume it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Because the movie really doesn't differentiate.
Okay.
So, Tom Hanks decides that he's going to listen to his parents. He's not going to play this game. These other three who play, they need a fourth. Why do they need a fourth? I don't know. We could play Dungeons and Dragons with as few as two when I was growing up, because sometimes you just need an individual quest in order to meet somebody or to get an item or to have something done. But they need four.
MacGuffin.
Anyway, so they're playing and they convince Tom Hanks that he's going to join. He needs to join. Romantic side plot doesn't go anywhere.
Well, it is a D&D thing.
It is a D&D thing. And the girl who is part of this group, I gotta say, when I was growing up, if there had been a girl who wanted to join our Dungeons & Dragons group, that would have been like the holy grail of nerddom. Hey, I have a level 9 sorcerer. What are you?
Leaving.
That's usually what they said, but a gamer girl wouldn't have. They would have talked. And then we wouldn't have needed the quest to battle the fear of crippling women. Crippling fear of women.
Fear of crippling women.
That would be a rational fear.
There are women with sledgehammers.
There's a joke in there. There's a joke in there, folks.
Oh.
I'm going to walk away.
I'm afraid.
Just know it's there.
I'm afraid Justin's going to cripple some women.
I'm just going to put a pin in this right here.
Boop.
So the story progresses rather slowly. It's not a very quick story, nor is it a very well-written story. But we get into where they're playing around, and one of the characters, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, is depressed and starts contemplating suicide. And what's the best way to do it so he will be remembered? So he explores some caverns near the college and decides not only does he not want to commit suicide, but he wants to start using those caves for an evolution of mazes and monsters. Not just around the table anymore. Now he wants to do it live.
It's called Caves and Creeps now.
And so now LARPing is born. LARPing stands for Live Action Role Playing. It is a game for the geeks among geeks.
I kind of want to LARP sometime.
Someday you very well may. I will be somewhere else. But in order to do this, he can't just convince everyone to play along. So the next time he's in his game, he just jumps into an obvious trap and kills his character. This, in a real life gaming session, what would have happened is that the rest of everybody at the table would have said, "You're a jerk," and then would have thrown dice at him.
Yeah.
In this case, he decides, "Hey, we're going to end the campaign. We're going to start a new one, and I'll be the maze controller," also known as dungeon master or game master or storyteller. And he gets everyone to agree, and they decide to do this LARPing in the caverns. And we have all kinds of wandering through caverns, bumping into traps like skeletons. And then he yells a description of a monster, and Tom Hanks freaks the heck out. Now, some might say it's because of the game. He got too far into the game.
Right.
No, I'm going to say that it's because he's got an overbearing father, an alcoholic mother, or the fact that his brother came into his room in the middle of the night one time on Halloween, said, "Give me all the money. Give me all your money. I'm going to New York. I'll call you," and then never did. The dude's got some demons.
Maybe Tom Hanks realized he was in a terrible movie.
Maybe, but he's pretty young here.
Okay. Yeah.
He's pretty young. He might not know.
He's too young to know better.
He's too young to know better. But after this hallucination, he kind of snaps and refuses to break character. Whether it's refuses to break his character or actually thinks he is his character, he becomes this holy man that he's been playing. At that point, he starts hallucinating.
Mm.
He, long story short, too late. Long story short, he ends up in New York on top of the Twin Towers, where he's going to fly from one tower to the other before his friends actually find him and talk him down. The end of the movie, because let's face it, none of you are going to watch it.
No.
Except for those of you who've already watched it. The end of the movie...
We wouldn't recommend it either.
I do not recommend it.
Good.
I do not recommend this movie. This is a heavy drinking movie. You know, if you have plenty of something to imbibe with, go ahead. But make sure that somebody else is there to call the ambulance when you need your stomach pumped. So, the movie ends on a downer. Tom Hanks' character, even though the mother says that he's doing better, he's still locked in this character. And so his friends, being good friends, excellent friends, you know, no doubt, decide to feed into his hallucination and play one last game
with him. That's good. Yeah.
So message is pretty clear. Do what your parents say. Beware of pointy dice. And, of course, the be-all, end-all, you know, Dungeons & Dragons is up to devil and will lead to mental breakdowns, hallucinations, and ultimately some kind of strange paranoia and split personality.
Wow.
I'm going to call BS on this. Bovine scatology, I believe, is the word of the day.
That's my favorite phrase.
And the thing is, it's Dungeons and Dragons. It's a role-playing game. It uses dice, paper, pencils, and imagination. I don't know that there are too many groups that still do the great big things. I suppose in tournament play, they still use the the figurines, etc. But normal people play this. People have been saying that kids are going down hell's path ever since there were kids. And what do you know? We're all normal adults.
For the most part, yeah.
We're all mostly normal. There's always outliers, but even in this case, only one out of the four really got any kind of problem with it. What it is, it was an overreaction from a paranoid group of adults who are saying that childhood is fraught with terror and horror, which in some cases it is, but in this case, it's just overreaction. All these kids who are playing these games, who are dancing, who are listening to rock and roll music, who are playing video games, reading comic books.
Going to movies.
Going to movies. They're just going to grow up to be normal, boring, productive adults for the most part.
Yeah. Then you've got us.
Heck, if only one out of four turns out to be screwed, I'd say we're doing pretty good.
It's pretty good odds, yeah.
So don't watch it. Don't be like me. Avoid this movie. Rob, I love you, man, but... Oh, I hope you never recommend another movie ever again.
If you'd like to recommend a movie for Chad, leave a post at facebook.com/geekcave, and we can't guarantee he'll do it, but he'll read it.
I will read any and all suggestions, and if I can find it or get it cheaply, I'll do it.
Ah, there we go.
Hey, Chad, how did you end up watching this movie?
I watched this one on YouTube.
Because
on YouTube. Now, we actually know somebody who had a copy of this movie, Joe Winner.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Didn't Joe end up selling it?
Joe got rid of it. This would be like, it would be like you, Justin, deciding to get rid of a couple of comics that you bought with your own money. You don't buy movies, or you don't buy comics that you're not going to like. You buy things you think you are going to like. You read, you know, a little bit into it. Joe doesn't sell movies. He sells games.
Yeah.
So he can get more games, but not movies.
Oh, so he's one of those despicable types that, you know, that's hurting all the game companies.
No. No, I'm going to say he's not, because Joe also does not get online at all, because the game companies, you know, all require this online and he can't play there. He's not hurting anyone.
Yeah, no, I...
It's like swapping out your Nintendo cartridge with a pal.
Try telling that to EA and THQ. And...
Don't worry, in another few years, the European courts are still going to uphold that digital sales are still ours.
Thank goodness.
Woot.
All
right, well, excellent review, Chad. We're sorry for your pain.
I am too.
Any final thoughts?
I do not. I think that pretty much covers everything that I would want to say.
Justin.
I like cereal.
I like chocolate milk.
All right.
I like chocolate milk in my cereal.
Ooh. We've got a rebel here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. For Chad Savage.
Hi.
Justin White.
Yo.
The incomparable and unimitatable Kent Harris. I'm Darren Wright. Tune in next month, or download us next month, I should say, either from podbean.com or iTunes or our Tumblr site or Facebook. You have no excuse not to listen to us next month. We're going to have Gamescom coverage featuring Michelle from the Game Fanatics. You're not going to want to miss that. She's a super fun person, and you're going to love it. Until then, remember to check out Shirtosaurus.com and facebook.com/geekcave. I'm Darren Wright for these other guys, and everyone's a geek for something.